Let me ask you to be seated. I will stand you up in a moment. Please allow me to say thank you to the choir. That arrangement of Great Is Thy Faithfulness was sung at my ordination in 1991. When I asked Monica if this choir could do it, she said, of course. I'm amazed that I've been a part of two churches that can pull that off. My all-time favorite hymn, and in those 28 years since my ordination, I can say unequivocally that God has been faithful. One of the great fears that I have had any time I have begun a new job was the fear that I would fall flat on my face. Those of you who are at the early service on the first Sunday of July in 2014 know that I did exactly that. When Ben invited me to join him in the front, I went off those steps. There are four of them. I hit three and missed the fourth, and I fell flat on my face. Fortunately, because I did not hit the piano, I was able to get up and to go. I'm grateful I got that over with early so that I can move on. I probably would not be as fortunate today. That's the day that I met Ann Thompson, who assured me that the umpteen physical therapist in this congregation would have taken care of me had I injured myself. There have been many trips up and down these steps in the last 5 years, and every time I have carefully watched my step and have held on to that handrail. We have ascended to worship. We have descended to go to the table so that we might share communion. We have descended that we might gather around the font for a baptism. We have entered this sacred space to worship, and we have left this sacred space to continue our service to God in the world that He has called us to serve. All those actions will continue as long as Wesley Monumental exists and Christians gather here as the body of Christ. Pastors and people will come and go. They always have. Change will come. It always has. But the one who has called us to serve changes not. And he continues to call us forward. And that is the crux of my message this morning. And now I invite you to stand for the reading of the word. I've chosen two passages, one from the Old and one from the New. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian slave girl whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, "You see that the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my slave girl. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her slave girl, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave you my slave girl for your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to her, "Your slave girl is in your power. Do to her whatever you please." Then Sarah dealt harshly with Hagar, and she ran away from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave girl of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I'm running away from my mistress Sarah." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her. And then from John chapter 13. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God, and that he was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had tied around him. After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am your teacher and Lord. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set for you an example that you also should do as I have done." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The two stories that I have just read are separated by many years in history, yet I think they bear some striking similarities about phases of our life. In the first, Hagar, handmaiden of Sarah, Abram's wife, is running away. When Sarah got tired of waiting for God to fulfill his promise to give Abram and Sarah a son, Sarah takes matters into her own hands and gives Hagar to Abram so that she might bear the son for Sarai, because she had not. When Hagar becomes pregnant, she looked with contempt on her mistress. When Hagar learns that she has conceived, she looks with contempt on her mistress. Sarah treats Hagar harshly and sends her away to the desert. There she is found by the angel of the Lord, who says to her, "Hagar, slave girl of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going?" She responds by saying, "I'm running away from my mistress." And strangely enough, the angel says to her, "Return and submit." Where have you come from and where are you going? Answering these two questions for us involves what I call a life review. Most of you will remember Alex Haley and the work he did in discovering his roots. As a slave, he knew nothing about his origin. He had no history of his family. He had to discover his history, and it was not an easy one to tell. He did a lot of traveling. He asked a lot of questions. And he wrote a very big book to tell that story. The movie made from it took 5 nights for us to see on TV. I had the privilege of hosting Alex Haley at Georgetown College when he came to speak to our students. Unlike so many of the celebrities who came, he did not focus on himself, but on our students. He asked them questions. Who are your predecessors? What do you know about your family history? What about your family history do you want to tell your children? Well, part of my story has to do with my father's people. My great-great-grandfather, William Anderson Carr, was an independent Christian church preacher. He was known in the community as Grandpa Preacher. My great-grandfather, my grandmother's father, lived to be 104. I come from a long line of livers, and I'm not referring to the body part. I have a good heritage. My grandmother was 16 when she married my grandfather, who was 32. He delivered the mail and farmed. They thought they were poor, but by community standards, they were much better off than most. My grandmother was a strong woman. She bore 13 children, reared 12 of them, and when my grandfather died, she married a widower and helped to rear his 5. My grandfather became a Christian after he married my grandmother. She was known in the community for her Christian care and concern. She was the one they would call when there was a crisis in the community or a baby to be delivered. I guess she was the person that I looked up to the most when I was growing up. Because I'm one of 50 grandchildren, I felt pretty fortunate that she even knew my name. But she did. And she loved me. And one time she made me a beautiful green dress. I was spending some time with her one summer, and when I awakened one morning, there was this handmade dress on the pillow beside me. She said she had made it sometime during the night and that it was for me. James says my love for dishes is a family sickness. This is where it came from. Mama, as we called her, had a china cabinet filled with a variety of dishes. I am not sure that any two of them matched. They were odds and ends that included serving bowls and candy dishes and salt and pepper shakers. I saw those dishes as her treasures. Mama did not have the money to buy wedding gifts. But as each grandchild married, he or she got to go to the china cabinet and choose a dish. I never got to choose a dish, for my wedding came 24 years after she died. But after her death, one of my aunts remembered that I did not have a dish, and she asked me if I would like to have my grandmother's churn. I gladly received it. And it is among my most cherished possessions. My father was the 10th of her 13 children. The family hung a lot of hope on him because he was the one that became the preacher of his generation. When my parents divorced, it was not on... The devil has lived in my sinuses since I've been in Savannah. Might as well go out with it. When my parents divorced, it was not only painful for them and for me and my siblings, it was also painful for his brothers and sisters too. It was at this point that our family history took a turn. I was in the 8th grade when I learned that my preacher father was leaving my mother for another woman. I was devastated by that news. But that news was no more painful than the news that would follow of 4 other divorces that my mother and my father would experience in subsequent years. Are there parts of my family history that I wish did not exist? Sure there are. They are parts of who I am, but they do not excuse me for what I ought to be. The story of Hagar and Ishmael in Genesis 16 asks the crucial questions: where have you come from, and where are you going? In Hagar's case, she came from a life of servitude filled with contempt. And surprisingly enough, she was directed to return to that life, knowing that God was going to bless her son, Ishmael. So, grandparents and parents, I have some questions for you this morning. Where have you come from? How long has it been since you have done a life review? When was the last time that you thought about your family history? What was important to your grandparents and parents? What were the principles by which they lived? What did they value? What were the traditions in your family that were sacred? Have you submitted your DNA for analysis yet? What is your story? And where is it that you are going? What are you doing with the makeup that is yours? Are you proud of your family heritage? Are you ashamed of it? Has it molded you into the person you are today, for better or worse? Do you use your past as an excuse for who you are today? Have you told your story to your children? Do they know that sometimes you struggle with life as it has been given to you? Are you working to pattern your family life on a heritage that is wholesome and fruitful? Are you seeking to make it better for your children and the children of this world than it was for you? Are you creating a legacy that will be viewed with awe and gratitude by those whose lives you touch? And for those of you who are young adults and youth and children, I have the same questions for you. Where have you come from? Do you know the stories of your family? Do you have grandparents, biological or chosen, who are an integral part of your life? Do you know what is important to them? Can you see around their aches and pains and hear the deeper meaning of their lives? Do you know what it is that your grandparents dream for you? Do you see your parents as more than a financial resource of deep pockets whose sole purpose is to give you all the stuff you want? I surely hope so. Do you know what it is that your parents dream for you? And where are you going? What are the dreams that you have for yourself? You do have dreams, don't you? Do your parents and grandparents know about your dreams? Have you shared with them the wildest dreams of your heart? Do they honor your dreams just as they honor you? Does God know the desires of your heart? If not, you ought to tell him, for God honors those too. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 34, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Where are we going? It is an important question to ask. Are you stuck in your past, as good or as bad as that might have been? Are you bogged down in the present with its demands and pressures? Are you moving to the future, knowing that because of or in spite of all that has been, God goes before you to prepare the way in this journey we call life? What applies to us as individuals also applies to us as a church. We often read the second passage of Scripture from John 13 during Passion Week. It tells us about our spiritual family. Part of the heritage that we claim has to do with God, our Father, and Christ, our brother. Jesus has set the example of who we are to be as children of God. We are to serve as he served. We are to trust in the Father as he did. Jesus knew where he had come from, and Jesus knew where he was going. And what he did in the meantime on Passover night was to get up from the table and to begin to serve by washing the disciples' feet. And he commanded us to do the same. Let me suggest this morning that it's time for all of us to do a life review. Can you look at where you have been and give thanks to God for all that is good and right? And with a breath of kindness, forgive that which has not been good? Can we do that same as a church here in Savannah? What do we need to leave behind to forgive and forget? Can you share with your family, both biological and spiritual, those things you cherish and dream about? Can you trust them to honor your thoughts and hopes? What are we dreaming as a church? Are we committed to following Jesus in this time and place? Are we dreaming big enough and trusting God to give us the desires of our individual and our corporate hearts? You see, I believe God is concerned about our individual and our corporate future. Can we give to the one who loves us more than life itself our future, knowing that the God who has brought us to this time and place is the God who leads us still? Today is a bittersweet day of celebration for me. But you know what? It's not about me. But it is a day of celebration, as is every Sunday, when we come from our individual places here to worship the one who came from God, who returned to God, and who will come again to receive us into himself, and that where he is, we may be also. And in the meantime, like Jesus, we are to get up and go to serve. May it be so. Amen. Amen.